Begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Hey. You begin on Amud Beis. Begin the taste of Ramascha. It begins with the words of the Gemara. Her Kor B'Sefer Ala Skufa is talking about where he was reading from a scroll on the threshold. Taste can explain what's the reason why specifically when we're coming to explain the case, we're talking about specifically a Sefer, which is Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, the Gemara brought that Rabbi said that we're talking about a slanty wall, where we find this reference of Rabbi's halacha. It was talking regarding the following halacha. Someone's reading a sefer when he's on the threshold, which is a karmelis, and the scroll, the sefer rolls out of his hand, and he's still holding on to one end, and then he's allowed to roll it back to himself. But if, let's say, he was reading it on the top of a roof, which is Rosh Hashayach, and then the sefer rolls out of his hand, then if it reaches within 10 tefachim on the ground, which is Rosh Hashayach, then he's not allowed to roll it back to himself, which is by Rosh Hashayach. Rather, he has to turn it around on the writing, that it should not be disgraced. And why is he not allowed to roll it back to himself? Because that's considered as Heyanacha, and therefore, obviously, that's talking about by a slanty wall, which is on laying on the slanty wall. That's where Rabbah had set his halacha. Now, Tais asks, he says, Vim Tema, if you're going to say, wait a second, how do we understand this halacha in the first place? The Rava Bepirkin, Rava later on the parag, Dele Gazer Bekarmelis Gezer Legzer, he says, in the rabbinic domain, like a Karmelis, you don't make a decree for a decree, which the Karmelis itself is Gezer Drabana. We're not going to make a decree for Karmelis itself, as we find Gabbala Yotza Chait Bemachta. Where do we find Rava's halacha? Regarding when the halacha is said later on, the Firaf Mabez says that a tailor is not allowed to go out with his needle on before Shabbos. So Rava explains it specifically if he's holding it in his hand. But if it's, let's say, as some tailors do it in their garment, since even if he would go out with it into the Shusaram, he would not violate biblical law, because that's not a normal way of carrying. So the Chamna not going to make a Gzer L'Gzerah, which is to say that, oh, you're not allowed to go out with it in your lapel, which then you might come to do it in your hand, which then itself is going to be itself the biblical violation. We're only going to make one Gzer, not a Gzer L'Gzerah. So if so, same thing goes over here by a Karmelis, which is itself rabbinic. Chum did not make a gzeira, because then maybe you might come to do haitzah in the Karmelis. So then the question is, my year is safer. Why are we talking about specifically is safer? What do you mean? Anything, if he's still holding on to one end, itself should be permitted to bring it back. Because even if it wouldn't be in his hand, it would only be rabbinically prohibited, because as Tais explains, because you could only explain this case of the threshold, it has to be talking about that the threshold is a karmelis. As Abai explains in the last parak, because it talks about it depends how far it rolls, and that would only make a difference in the karmelis, but in Rosh Hashanah it wouldn't make a difference. So Tais's question is, if we're talking about a karmelis, which itself is rabbinic, so why would you say that this halacha of you're holding on to one end, the halacha would be a leniency only specific regarding a sefer, anything? Because we're not going to make something as rabbinically prohibited because of you might let go of it in a rabbinic area, which is a karmelis, which is a gzer l'gzer. We don't do that. So Tais V'Hashem, what you could say is the nukat sefer l'shmin yed. You're right. For that part of the halacha, we didn't have to tell you a sefer, because that would be anything. Why'd we pick a sefer? To tell you a fill a sefer, the other part of the halacha. That even if it's a sefer, it's a sefer. It ain't a good de biyada, but if it's not held onto his hand, he already let go. So then us, it's going to be prohibited, and we are going to make it prohibited. Lafuke, Reb Shimon. That's come to from Reb Shimon. The Amma Asim, he says over there, called Dovashu Mishum Shuvas, anything that's only rabbinically prohibited, because as we're saying over here, since it's by a Karmelis, so although you let go of it, but it's only rabbinically prohibited, it's not getting in the way of a holy writing. And therefore, even when it's not a good to be other, even though it would be a Akira, but still it would be permitted to bring it in from the Shazaram to the Karmelis where you are, that's why I have to tell you it's somewhat a safer. So Tais explained that according to Rava, that holds that by a Karmelis, we don't make rabbinic decrees, because again, that would be gzer l'gzer, as we find his halacha later on in the parag. Here, obviously, as we said, you have to be talking about a karmelis, from the fact that the Mishnah even differentiates between if the sefer rolls away four amos or not, and that would only be applicable in the karmelis. So then why do you have to say, speaking about a sefer, if this halacha would be regarding any object, we wouldn't make it rabbinically prohibited that if you might let go of it, if it would not be a karmelis, it would be gzer l'gzer. To tell you the other part of the halacha, they didn't buy a sefer, which is a kodesh, if he's not holding on to it, it would be prohibited to take it back, because it would be one rabbinic iser, and that we do make prohibited even by kisvei kodesh, not like Reb Shimon, who holds that you don't violate, you don't make it prohibited anything regarding the sanctity of kisvei kodesh if it's only rabbinic law. Then the next taste of the mass begin the words of the Gemara, b'kaisel meshupa. We're talking about a slanty wall. Shtais comes to explain that that wall that is a rishus rabim because the people use it to shoulder their packages that they're holding. Because Rabbi explained this halacha, that if someone's standing in rishus hayachid and he's reading a sefer and it falls out of his hand, and the other end rolls down to within 10 tefachim of the ground, he's not allowed to roll it back to himself, because it was laying on the slanty wall. So it would be similar to like bringing it, there was a hanacha, so you'd be doing an akira now, you'd be bringing it from rishus haram to rishus hayachid. Tais is bothered with a question. Why is this compared to bringing from rishus haram to rishus hayachid? But this wall, if it's 4 tefachim wide and 3 tefachim high, it's actually a karmelis. And if it's not even 4 tefachim wide, then it's a makam tur, because we're within 10 tefachim. So it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not rishus hayachid, but neither is it a rishus harabim. Says Taisus, I mean, read the Reese says, yes, it is, because the Irikurian Shirab Makasmalov, we're talking about where the public goes and shoulders their packages on this wall. To have Rishas Ram, that would make it a Rishas Ram, but we find items that, although technically they would be a Carmelis, like something that's 4 Tfachim wide and is 9 Tfachim high, would normally be a Carmelis, but when the Rabbim on Makasmalov, we make it a Rishas Ram. There it's the same with this type of wool, and that's what the case was being described, that what you would take from that slanty wool and bring it into Rishas Yachid, that would be the case of Hachnasa. We continue next Tazdir Masl. That begins with the words of the Gemara, Eges Agabe Mayim, a nut on the water, Lav Hainahana Chasa, that's not the way it's normally placed. Which Tazdir comes to explain that there are differences in depending on the context of the halacha between, let's say, the laws of Kinyan, of acquisition in a courtyard, which that actually cannot acquire if it's moving, if that chatzar, so to speak, if that domain is moving. In contrast, the laws of Hanacha, of Shabbos, which Agamar brought down, the Rava said, that one is going to be liable if he takes water from a pit of water, because the upper waters are considered placed on the lower waters. Said the Gemara, he's going according to his opinion, because he holds a water on top of water, even the upper waters are considered that they're munach, that they're placed. But a nut on top of water, the nut is not considered like it's placed. Now, Tais, by the way, a question, as he's about to say. The Gemara says about Mitzid of Tesma Bay is that if fish jumped into a boat, the owner of the boat automatically acquires the fish from a kinyan of chatzah. It's considered in his domain. The boat is moving, and that's what's called a chatzah malachas, a moving courtyard cannot acquire. No, since the boat is stationary, the water is just moving it, so therefore he acquires it. So then the question is, so why over here did Agamara say that the nut is not considered placed? What do you mean? The nut is stationary, the water beneath it is moving. Says Tesis Avagav Damrin in Perkav of the Bamitzi, although we say in the first Perkav of Bamitzi, Dav Tesma base. Svina Menech Naiche, the boat is stationary, Maihu, the Kamam Tila, it's only the water that's moving it. So why are we saying different over here with the nut? Says Tesis Ligabi Kinyan Shani, regarding acquisitions is different. There it's not called a moving courtyard. Why not? Because you see that from the context of where we learn it out from. The Chatzi Alfin Miyad, how do we know a courtyard acquires for someone an acquisition? It's learned out from the similarity to a person's hand, which just like a person's hand acquires from him, so too does his courtyard. Now, v'yad nami, a person's hand also, ihu do kamazgi tu, so the person is walking beneath the hand, for kamamtila, and is moving the hand. So, even so, we see that the hand acquires. So, obviously, there's no lacking in something that it's stationary, but the thing beneath it is making it move. So, therefore, that's the same thing with the halacha of the boat. Halacha, but over here, mi mishkan yalfin, regarding the laws of Hilchos Shabbos, we learn it out from the laws of the mishkan, of the tabernacle, b'sham lohoy mistama, there it wasn't, we could assume, el kederch shematznin chafetim in the adam, just like people normally put things away. People usually put things in a place that even where it's on is stationary, that it's not moving at all. That's why the nut, even though it's stationary, but since the water is moving it, is not going to be considered as placed, and therefore it's not going to qualify as a hanocha in the context of the malacha of Haitzah. Now, continues Taisa, similarly, Bayi, the Gemara's question that continued, Rava asked, Egois Bekli Uklitzef Agabimayim. Let's say there's another variable in this equation. The nut is in a vessel, and the vessel is floating on the water. Imhu Derech Kach Latznia Chafetim Aloy. The question wasn't in old context, it was regarding the laws of Shabbos, as we just described. Is that the normal way of people to put things away? Because although we say what you put it on has to be stationary too, but would we say that, okay, what you're putting it into with the vessel is stationary, or not, because the water beneath what you're putting it on is also moving? Because as Tais explains, Avagav Devadi Lav Kemunechdem, because although, as we find in other contexts, that such a thing actually would not be considered like its place. So what's his question? That's what Tais is coming to say, because the context of Shabbos is different than other contexts. How do we know that normally it would not be considered as if it was placed? Because the Kaimel and Rachav Kamahachtam, we find elsewhere regarding the laws of when you have to stand up in front of your Rebbe that's coming. So That's only when he's moving. We find that when he's riding on something, it's like he's moving. So therefore, when the vessel is floating on the water, that's just like the horse. And the nut that's in the vessel is like riding on the horse. So if so, most definitely it's considered mahalach. Still, says Taisis, Rabbi's doubt was, is this the normal way of concealing things? Because that's how you learn that the malachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan. So it doesn't have to do with other contexts, even though it's for sure not like placed, as Taisis continues to prove this idea. Well, Bereish Perek Basra, in the beginning of the last paragraph of Kufnun Gimel Mabeis, Mash Menami Rosa sounds like, Dem Noisen Al Odom Kishu Mahalach, if you put something on the person when he's moving, that's not considered as if you place something on something. And where do we know that? Because the Kama, the Gemara says over there regarding a person that was walking there of Shabbos and is starting to get Shabbos. Now he has a wallet of money on him and he doesn't have a non-Jew to give it to. So Allah has brought that he puts it on the donkey. So the Gemara asks, how could you put it on the donkey? But that's Isra of Machamer, when you're making your donkey do work. Says the Gemara, Menicha Aleh Kishim Aleches. So you put it on the donkey when it's moving, and you take it away from it when it stops. In such a situation, that you didn't do a Hanocha Nakira, the animal didn't do it, because since the animal was moving when you put on it, and when it stopped, you took it off, so then when you put it back on, you never actually did a Nakira and Hanocha. Now, although the object itself is not moving, but since the animal beneath it is moving, so we see that that's considered as if it was moving, and therefore we didn't do it with the nakir and anacha. So to say, v'amrina namba moitzi. So to we say later on, perak moitzi in pedaf peyam and olive, hoitzi diyoy kishir shtei oisis. Someone takes out the amount of ink that you could write two letters, uksavin kishu mahalach, and you wrote with them when as you were moving. Sechay b'chay. Why says the gemara? Ksivasim zuy anachasim. The writing is the placing. But says Taisa Mashma sounds like from the Gemara, the Dafka Ksavan. Yes, specifically because you wrote them. Shehenichim b'mokam shishur shem lo'edim, because you put them in a place where they're going to stay forever. Amshafach l'kliacha, but it sounds like if you'd pour in another vessel, lo'y chashav anach, would not be considered as the violation of placing kibin shumahalch, because he was going. And so although the ink itself, after you poured it, didn't move, but since the person was moving, that's not considered hanacha. Rather, again, Rav's question over here was only if this is the normal way for people to conceal their objects. So Taisa told us that even though regarding kinyav chatz, we find that a boat will acquire as a kinyav chatz, even though a chatz malach is not kaina, is because the water is moving beneath it and not the boat. So why is our gemara over here regarding the nut any different? Still, he says regarding Shabbos, the nut on top of the water is not hanacha, and we don't say that the water beneath it is moving because we learn from the laws of the Mishkan. And by Mishkan, they didn't do it like that, to put on something, even if it itself is not moving, but the thing on should also be stationary. And that's why Rav had a question regarding the nut on the vessel and the vessels on the water, even though you're right. As we find regarding standing up for your Rebbe, that we find that when someone's riding on a donkey, it's like he himself is moving, even though he's stationary. So too, putting something on a moving animal is not hanacha, as the Gemara is obvious later on, but still regarding the Hanach on top of a kli, Rabbi wasn't doubt. Is that the normal way? So although it is kemahalach dami, but maybe it would be considered as placing in regards to the laws of haitzah. Continuing next, Taisa the Masechta begins with the words of the Gemara. B'yichem Nuri Amar. He says shneim b'chulu. Taisa comes to prove that obviously oil is considered a mashker regarding the laws of tum and tahara, and that is because the Gemara brought that this case that oil that's floating on wine is that considered like it's placed or not? So the Gemara says, "Talin machlekes Rabbi Yechmanuri and the Rabbanan regarding the laws of Tum and Tahara, and so too regarding the laws of Shabbos." Rabbi Yechmanuri holds that if you touch the oil of Truma, that's on top of the wine of Truma, that the oil becomes tummy and the wine becomes tummy because they're considered attached. So obviously he holds that it's placed. So therefore it's there. Where according to Rabbanan that hold that only the Shema becomes tummy because it's not considered hanach, it's not considered as part of the wine itself. It's like considered as if it's distinct. Now, Taisa says, but one thing is, and the fact that the way the case was described was talking about what's being metame the shaman. It was talking about someone who immersed himself that day but didn't have sundown yet, who in regards to the laws of tumatari has halachic status as a shein lo tuma. And the case was not described as a liquid that is a sheini, that's a shein lo tuma, that touched this oil of truma. Mashmet sounds like the shemen chashav mashkin. Sounds like that oil is considered a beverage in regards to the tumas mashkin, which is a unique halacha regarding beverages that they become a rishon l'tuma, even if a sheni touched it. Now, it's obvious that from the fact that we picked specifically that a tful yoim touched it. Why? Because the sheni achar, if any other sheni l'tuma touch the shemen, mitama mashkin liyas tchila. It would actually make the oil into a rishon l'tumah. And therefore, if you touch the shemen of truma, the shemen itself would then be a rishon. And then, of course, it would be mitama the yayin according to everyone. Because by truma, the truma could become a shein l'tumah. That's why we picked specifically a tful yayim that touched the oil, where now the oil will become a shlishi, where it itself becomes pasul, but it's not going to be tama the yayin according to those who hold that it's considered distinct from the wine. And that's why I picked that type of case to tell you, and that's what we're inferring, because the shemen, it would be problematic, according to everyone, if it was touched by a regular shemen, not just a tful yayim, because tful yayim is different, that does not make it into rishon l'tumah. Everything else would make it into rishon, then you wouldn't have this whole machlekes. So it says, v'chemash m'perikamah de b'sachem, so too it sounds like from the first perikam b'sachem, the v'yudalam abeis, where the Gemara is describing that Rebbe Kiva says, the Kahana would never bother from holding back, from lighting the oil that became tamei by a tful yayim in a candle holder that became tamei from a tamei mace. Even though you're adding on tumah now onto the previously tamei oil, it's going to become a higher level of tumah. Still, they never stopped doing that. So the Gemara explains over there, because Rebbe Kiva holds that the tumah of mashkin to mitamei other things is biblical. Because if it was rabbinic, so what are you saying that the ner is going to be tamei the shemen more than was before? What do you mean? It itself was already tamei anyway. And to mitamei other things, the ner is not going to cause it to make a more severe tumah mina taira. And you can't say that would be increasing the tumah midrabanan, because then you wouldn't have to say that the ne'er was tummy from a tumas mess, because the same thing would be even if it became tummy from a rishon and a sheni that attached the shemen that would make it tummy the rabbanon to be tummy other things. Obviously, that we consider the shemen as a mashke, because if not, then it wouldn't become a rishon l'tumah and it would not be tummy other things. That's obvious from that Gemara Pesachim. Now, says Tesa, Mashu Kashmir Menachas, this is difficult from Menachas, that the Gemara there rules like Rishim Shazuri, who he holds as the Mishnah Tara says that only wine becomes a rishon l'tumah and not shemen. And we're saying over here that even Shemin's a mashke. Parashi Shem Pesachim says, I explained this in Masechet Pesachim, that machlekes is talking specifically when the oil congealed, became into a salt, and then it later liquefied. Again, that's where the machlekes was, but if it never liquefied, everyone would agree, as Tosis is saying over here, that the oil is considered a mashke. So again, Tosis proved from the fact that Rebbi Manuri explained the case of Shemin on top of the wine, specifically by a tful yom touching the shemen, is obviously because shemen is a mashka, and therefore he had to talk about specifically a tful yom to make it into shlishi, because if any other sheni would touch it, it would make it into a rishon, and as we see that a liquid is mitami a liquid to make it into a rishon, and therefore it would have been mitami the yayin according to everyone. Tim next ties the b'masal, this begins with the words of the Gemara, bishlim lebenazai, we understand benazai mahalach koimadami, he says moving is like standing. So this can explain, why didn't the Gemara say simple, that according to Ben Azai, the reason why you're potter is because you don't find like this a precedent in the Mishkan. That is, the Gemara says that the reason Ben Azai that holds you potter when you take it from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus Rab through a Karmelis is because he holds Mahalach Ko'im Adami. And therefore, every step you take is a stop. So when you enter Rishus HaYachad to the Karmelis, and then Karmelis to Rishus Rab, and therefore you never get Mikhaev for going straight from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus Rab. Now, on that as Taisa is Kashlari, the reason bothered. Matzarch lahaytaima. Why do we need this reason? Because of Mahalach Koimid. Lema, say simply, Bishlam al Benazai, we could say we understand the Kohen Benazai can be potter simply because Lashkechan Kahagavna, because we don't find this case in the Mishkan of going from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRam through a Makam tour, through an exempt place like a Karmelis, to learn that from there. The Mechab that you'd be liable, and actually, as the Reese says, Kedaparach Mahaytama Lirabonna, because this is actually what the Gemara's actual question is on the Raman itself. So say that. This is exactly how the Gemara asked about. How do you know this? So maybe you say that's the reason why Ben Azai says Yepata, because how do you? Because we don't find such a precedence. Because as Tosis explains, because if the reason why we're saying we have to come up with this idea Mahalach Koimid is because of the inverse, where we say, oh, when you throw it, Ben Azai agrees. Well, why would he agree if you don't find such a precedent? Oh, obviously because he does hold your chayv. It's only because Mahalach Koimid you're going to be Pater. Says Tosis, you can't say that because Akati Layodu Demoyde Bezerik. The Gemara doesn't know yet that he agrees in the case of Derek Digni Chayv. As Tosis says, because the Iyada, if the Gemara knows this already, then Lifrig Namad Ben Azai. So why is the Gemara only asking under Rabbanan? Ask it on Ben Azai, Azarik Amoshe, regarding when you're throwing, when you're passing, Hey Chashkech Mechulu, where do you find such a precedent? For the fact they don't ask him Ben Azai, because they don't know this yet. So if they don't know this yet, so then don't say it's because he holds Mahalach Koimid. Say similar because you don't have such a precedent. Says Tosis, but Tirat Tzuri, the Re answer is the Hachikama. You're right, this is what the Gemara is saying. Bishlam al Ben Azai, we understand the Ben Azai says you can be potter. Is a filamishkachas kahai gavna be mishkan potter. We're saying in even. You're right, we don't know. But even if we would find such a case in the Mishkan, still you'd be potter because the Mahalach Koimid dummy, because even though in the Mishkan they did such a thing, but you wouldn't be chayiv for transporting an object because walking is like stopping. El Rabbanan, Tikshahech Ashkem, Mechula. But the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbanan, where do you find such a thing that they're saying that you're going to be chayav? Now, Taisa continues and explains how, according to Ben Azai, are you ever going to be chayav for transporting an object for Amos from Shas Aram? Bishami Parachal Daiti de Ben Azai. The Yishami asked this question on the opinion of Ben Azai. Comes out, according to Ben Azai, you're never going to have someone liable for the halacha of transporting an object for Amos and Shas Aram. Because it's going to be like as if every amah, every foot, every two amas, every amah, every 2 feet that he takes, it's like as if he stopped. So he's going to be pata because he never went down amas and Shas Aram. Mashani, Yishami answers, Meshkachas la b'kayfet. You do have it. He could jump. And he's going to do Dalai Lama's the one shot, so he transported Dalai Lama's without having the problem of Mahal of Kalimadami. Because he didn't walk, he jumped. Now, Vashasti Dan, but says Taisis our Gemara, Lechashav LaPircha, does not consider this as a question. Kadama Bazarik, as we find later on, Dav Tzadik Vavim Beis. The Dalai Lama's B'Shusaram, the Gemara says that the halacha of caring for Amas and Shusaram, that you're chayiv, Hilchas the Gemirullah, it's halacha l'mesh m'zinai, halacha l'mesh m'zinai, but there's no question that that was the halacha l'mesh m'zinai, even if you have the concept of Mahalach Kaim Adami, but that's what the halacha l'mesh m'zinai is telling you, you're going to be chayiv. Now, says Taisis, the same idea, V'chein applies, Klul to Rebbe Kiva. According to Rebbe Kiva, something is contained in the airspace. Avagav de Kamisha Hunchadami, even though he holds that it's like as if it was placed on the ground, even so, he would agree, as we're saying, it's halachal mesh mesinai, bezerg dalal amas b'shus ram chayiv. If you throw something for amas and b'shus ram, you're going to be chayiv. V'aloy amrini kamisha huncha teich dalal amas b'shus ram. You don't say, what do you mean? How could you be chayiv? Every second it moves, it's contained in that airspace. It's as if it landed, and therefore you never went for amas and b'shus ram. So Stais says, no, you don't say that. You say it's halachal mesh mesinai, and even he would agree that you can be chayiv for being maver, for being zerg dalal amas b'shus ram, and we won't say klul tiki kamisha huncha. Now, based on this, says Taisus Beriva Mesafkali. So the Riva was in doubt. Kiven the Bedal Amas B'Shus Aram. Since four Amas in Shus Aram, in those first four Amas, as we said, both according to Benazai, according to Bekiva, we're not going to say their concepts. We're not going to say that walking is like stopping, and therefore you'll be chayiv for walking for Amas in Shus Aram. So then Afagav the Beyam. So though in general, Ka'imid Dami LeBenazai, Benazai holds that walking is like standing, but the question he was in doubt was, Im Chayiv LeBenazai, would you say Benazai is going to hold that you're going to be liable? A full Amid Lofer Shtech Dalai Lamas. Is that even if you stop to take a rest within Dalai Lamas, Im Lav, or maybe not? In other words, do we say that since the Torah was Machadosh, that any time that you have an object in a person's hand, you're saying that it's not considered like it's placed down when it's in the middle of those four Amas and Shas Ram, that's Allah Mesh Mesinai. So would that be even to include if you're stopping to lafush, to take a breath, which that's not going to be considered as stopping, although generally that's the classic stopping, and it's only if you place it on the ground that would be considered as anacha, or maybe no. It's only regarding mahalach ka'imid that was the chiddush that we're saying here in Taisus, that the going is not going to be like you're placing it out. But regarding the oimid lafush, as we find always, that would be considered anacha even within Dalai Lamas and the Shas Aram. A similar doubt he had was, let's say he didn't stop after he already walked for Amas. What would that mean? How could you not stop? Let's say someone else took it from him as he was walking. If we say, he wanted to know, do we say that walking is like stopping out of the Dalai Lamas? And therefore, the moment he walks out of the Dalai Lamas, because with him, as we're saying, that's a halacha mishmasina, but right when he gets out, then maybe we would say, and therefore he did do anacha, or imlav, or maybe not. Because as Mefarshim explained, it's not possible to say after the Dalai Lamas, Mahalach Ka'imid Dami, because that would be Tarta Desasri. If Mahalach is Ka'imid, then that comes out he never walked Dalai Lamas, because every moment he was walking Dalai Lamas, he was stopping. So obviously it's not. So how could you say right after he walks the Dalai Lamas, that is Mahalach Ka'imid Dami? That was the doubt of the Riva. Chen Sotu Klutal Rebbe Kiva, he had a similar doubt regarding the other Tana we were talking about, that we don't say his concept within Dalai Lamas. According to Rebbe Kiva, when it's contained in the airspace, Im Amar Kemisha Huncha Dami, do we say that it's as if it was laid down, Chutzla Arbamas, when you're ready out of the Dalai Lamas area? Afila Kolta Acha, let's say, even if, let's say, something else catches it, Oikelav, or a dog, or Shasinisav, or burns. Kiven the Teich Arbamas, since, like within Dalai Lamas, as we explained before, Loyamrina, we don't say Kutta Kemisha Huncha. So then it's like it wasn't placed. So as long as it wasn't actively placed, it's not going to be actual considered as the Halach of Anacha, because it wasn't placed. It was eaten up or burned before it got a chance. Or maybe no. Only within Dalai Lamas do we not say Klutik Mishuncha. But after Dalai Lamas, maybe we do say Klutik Mishuncha. That was the doubts of the Riva. Now Taisa concludes and says, L'nir l'Rashba. It appears to the Rashba that L'Rabbi Yechanon, the Omelel that he said previously, moving his objects from one corner of his house to another corner of his house. Not to take out of his rishus liyachal. He's just moving things around. And then moving things around, he changes his mind, he decides he's going to take it out into rishus rabim. So Yechlin says, pati is exempt. Why? Because he never really did a prohibited akira, because when he did the original picking up, was not with the intention of taking it outside. When he changed his mind, he didn't do a new akira, so he never did the full akira nanach. Says Taisis that obviously less like the Benazai. Does not hold like Benazai. Because the Benazai, the Amam Hal Kaimidam, according to Benazai, which we're saying here in Asuga, that he holds walking is like standing, have a chayiv, he actually would be liable in such a case. Because the moment he changes his mind and he starts walking outside, that new step is a new akira. So it turns out he did do an akira and he went out. And Bechemucha behead Rish Elanaris, so too it's obvious from the beginning of Perik Elanaris in Ksubas Avalam Aleph on the base, where there the Gemara explains regarding the Mishnah over there, that if someone steals a wallet on Shabbos, he's chayiv. Why? Because he was liable for the Geneva before he came to this Shabbos. So on that says Taisis, according to Benazai, where the theft was done at the time when he picked up the object, that's what the Gemara there explains, whereas the liability of Shabbos only starts by the last step that he walks outside. You see that according to Benazai, the last walking is the new Akira, and therefore that's why you can be chayiv for the Issa Shabbos, because it's not boing ke'echa, it's not both at the same time, with them with a kamalei de birabinei. No, we say it's a kedeva happened in the beginning, and although that's when you did that key for Shabbos, no, you did that key when you took the last step out of the room. So Tosfos told us that the intention of the Gemara, when it says Bishlam el Benazai, that you're right, technically we could have said that it's because we don't find such a precedent in the Mishkan. It's just that we were saying that even if it would be possible that we had such a thing in the Mishkan, but still, even then, he would hold that you're going to be pater because Mahalach Ka'im Adami. But the Gemara's question to Rabbanah was, yeah, where did they find that you find such a thing in Mishkan that they hold that you're going to be chayiv? Additionally, Tais brought that the Yerushalmi's question was, according to Benazai, how you're going to be chayiv, ma'avad dal amas, but shusaram, every step you take is a new hanocha and then a new akira. So you never went dal amas. Tais explains from the Yerushalmi that it jumped. Now, Tais says that our Gemara doesn't have this question because it doesn't hold like this. Because, and you have to say this, as Tais proves from the Gemara later on, that the halacha is that they don't hold of this concept of the Yerushalmi because it's the halacha mitzvah Sinai. And halacha mitzvah Sinai says you're going to be chayiv no matter what the circumstances is, even if you hold halacha koyim adami, and like we said for Rebbe Kiva, even if you hold klut to kibmisha huncha adami. Now, but the Riva was in doubt, however, according to Benazai, that if you're mavad dal adamas, so you don't say halacha koyim adami, what if, let's say, in the middle of the dal adamas, you have to stand to take a breath? Do we even say over there that that's not going to interrupt the Akira and Anocha and you're going to be chayiv? Or maybe not. Additionally, he had in doubt, let's say you finally walked out of Dal Amas, where then we do say Malach Kaim Adami? Or maybe no, since within the Dal Amas we don't say it, so therefore after Dal Amas we also cannot say it, because else we'd be tired to the sassy. And the ramification would be in the case where someone took it from him and he never did Anocha. Also, the doubt would be regarding Rebbe Kiva. Whereas we're saying that Klutik Mishu Huncha, we're saying that even according to him, you have to say within the Dal Amas when you're throwing it, you're going to be chayiv, because that's halacha mishum b'sinai, that we don't say kul tikum mishum huncha. So what's the halacha if, let's say, one is throwing it, and after dal ramas, do then we say kul tikum mishum huncha? And again, the difference would be if, let's say, got burned before it landed, or would you say not? Additionally, Tosfos concludes from the Rashba that Rabbi Yechon holds that if you're moving around objects from corner to corner, and then you change your mind to go out, that you can be potter. Obviously, it does not hold like this halacha Benazai, because according to Benazai, after that you change your mind and you go out, then that last step out is like a new akira, which is because of Mahalach Ka'im Adami, and that's like the Gemara in Ksubas Dav Lamar of Amabez, that you see that the last step is like a new Akira. That's obviously not like Rabbi Yechon, who says that you're going to be Pater when you change your mind.